Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Blog Talk Radio and Optimize Your Life, the show on the Blog Radio Network, a computer-driven radio show that goes across the United States and 53 countries. We want to welcome you to this whole show. We call it Serving Up Lunch, Hope for Lunch. Today, excuse me, I'm yawning and waking up here, and even though it's at noon in Buffalo on the West Coast, it's only 9 in the morning. And we broadcast there, and we have guests from that area that come on the show regularly. And then we have guests come in, and a guest speaker that comes in a lot from Colorado Springs. Mr. Rick Reese, and so we'll look forward to welcoming him when he's available. And then we end up with people all over the country, get Georgia, Florida, New England, and I mean, you can go as far as Tacoma, Washington. Just never know where the folks are listening in. And the show is a noon to 1 Eastern Time broadcast that we talk about the 8 pillars, delivering services and benefits to families. Oh, I got the yawns here today. Delivering services at no charge, in most cases no charge or minimal cost to folks that need help. We specialize in areas working with veterans, first responders, and their extended families. And we know that because of a study that was done about 8 years ago, by the director, actually the lieutenant colonel ran the offices for Veterans Affairs at the Pentagon, Lieutenant Colonel General Donald Sutherland, who did white papers that describe what was happening since then and earlier for the folks that come out of the service and no longer have a mission. And they're just left to go and left to hang to dry, and there's not enough, and there hasn't been enough to support. And many people fall through the cracks of getting just the basic services. Some people were leaders when they were in the service, and they found ways to get involved in the economy and become people that contribute to making society better. And some are doing that. But there's a whole bunch that are like they're in the never land. And so what we do is we fill in that gap in a big way. And I'm proud that with Tuesdays, one of the areas that has created a huge opportunity is the world of travel. And we call this Travel Tuesday. And what we're doing is we're describing how the idea is a business. It's the largest business in the world. It's over $1 trillion. And individually, it's the single largest business in the world. And then within that are spinoff and appropriate supporting organizations, businesses that provide more opportunity. And we have, we're fortunate, we have an affiliation with an organization that really affiliates with the Hope Collection, the Surge 365 organization. It's a triumvirate. They have three aspects that they bring to the table. The first overall benefit is in free, no obligation, no cost, no overhead. Membership that you get a secure booking. You get the actual booking site that you can go online 24 hours, 7 days a week, or anybody you know, just like you were going to any of the other website travel suppliers in the world. And you can look up something and say, well, I want to go here in these days and put the number of people in. And when you want to go, and they'll give you a price. Now, the world has been set up, as in many places, categories of business set up the ground rules for how they're going to promote their industry. Years ago, in the retail industry, you know, when you go to the malls and the stores and shopping centers, the retail stores, the FTC came out with an investigation that showed that certain stores were doing what's called price fixing. And the biggest company most people are aware of was Sears. And they were fined at that time hundreds of millions of dollars because of their track record of doing that. Well, the travel industry is $1 trillion worldwide, and there's in so many countries that are involved in it. the FTC has not been able to curb
Ron,
in the market.
Ron, you don't want to go down that road. don't want to go down that road.
Okay, I won't. I won't do that in the future. Well, anyways, we have an operation that the surge organization that allows us to offer to the marketplace individuals a center of buying, purchasing what they like in the travel industry, a significant cost savings. And they have the ability through an algorithm to examine what's available in the marketplace in milliseconds and let you know what the marketplace is selling that room or that cruise or that rental for. And then because the way that the surge organization and that sponsors the Vortex Club, you're able to purchase at a significant price and know right up front what it is. And so you could see, you can go and you go back and compare on every website there is on the Internet, and you look at the price that you can get it from being a member of Vortex, and you'll see you're going to save. And the savings go 20, 30, up to 60% off the normal prices that you see. Well, that's a pretty good deal. And so people are taking advantage of that. It's like an Expedia. It's like a Travelocity. It's like Kaya, whatever, any of those places. And so what you're doing is what Surge is, it makes itself available to the general marketplace and positioning people to take advantage of being able to be more powerfully respected in the marketplace. So as a result of that, the company has that feature. They also have a membership organization, the central sponsorship of Surge 365, which enables someone to belong as a wholesale travel owner, travel agency owner. Now, in doing that, that positions you from a purchasing standpoint and access point at a higher level. And the old days, there were the AAA and Liberty and all these big companies, and that would be the equivalent of being one of those in today's world as an individual. And then you can operate anywhere you want in the world from your laptop or your phone, and that's an advantage in the marketplace. It's also, you own it. You get the number one foundational building block of ownership, and that's the only way financially you ever can get ahead is to own something and build equity. So Surge has got a whole program to help you and your family create a generational prosperity engine that will produce income and lifestyle and career. Now, how do we add the career part of this to the third portion, the third leg of this organization is called Your YTV, Your Business Travel Business. And what that does, that's where you get all your certifications to be a specialist, a cruise specialist with Princess or Carnival Tour, Viking Tours. You can become a specialist in Marriott. And how about all the parks, the Universals, the Disneys, the Legolands? You can become a trained specialist so that you can bring to the marketplace your expertise. And there are benefits, there's awards, and there's additional commissions that are available to the person who does that. Under this umbrella, what we bring to the marketplace, I say we because up front I'll just share with everyone, I actually chose several years ago to take advantage of the opportunity that was climbed through and made us available to us through the whole collection. We became introduced to, well, I'll tell you, when you get introduced to dynamic leadership, that has a track record, and then to add on to that one other facet, that they are willing to help you, and I don't mean just by saying hi and good luck to you, I mean truly help you, then you've got a tool and a team that you can go to expand and grow and create that equity I'm talking about. And in our case, we have a gentleman who's on this call, my wife and I, we got a chance to share a little bit about the benefits of Valentine's Day last night with them on Marketplace Ministries, a Monday night a group that meets to just praise and honor our faith and expand on it and help people to grow. And but Rick Reese and his wife, Brenda, are recognized leaders in the world of travel. And they're recognized leaders in the world of Surge 365 to the point that they demonstrate by their lives how to be a leader and help people become that. And so I want to welcome Very, officer, formerly Air Force. He knows all about computers. He knows all about being a community development agent person to help restore life for people. And he'll tell his story. But I just wanted to tell you, and I wanted to introduce you to my friend Rick Rees. Hi, Rick.
Ron! How's it going? Hey, you know, in Colorado, it is beautiful. It is sunny out there. May snow tomorrow, but for today, it's beautiful out there. And this past weekend, so good to be on the show. This past weekend, Brenda and I drove up to the mountains again. And like we did a couple of weeks before, where it was just beautiful. And just the one thing that I think is so awesome about Colorado is, you know, coming from Boston, where you have the hills, you can see forever. And the higher you go, the more you can see. When you go up into the mountains, you can just see forever. And you've got the snow, and you've just got the sun, and it just creates, and the air is just crisp and cool, not cold, but just cool, great ski weather. But it's just beautiful country here. And so we were out there. I tried to repeat it this past weekend. And, boy, I got tired before I got into the midst of everything, in the middle of everything. And I said, nah, let's just go home this time. Last time, which was a couple of weeks ago, we went up and we were going up and up, and the road takes you up and over mountains. And we were going, and it was just so much fun. We were in Breckenridge, Silverton, and just beautiful country. And, you know, when you feel like driving, you can drive. When you don't feel like driving, it makes you tired. It's like work. And this time, this past Sunday, you know, we went, and I want to be back before Super Bowl II as well. And after a minute there, we were into getting ready to go up in the mountains, and we made that decision before we got too committed. Because once you drive, you know, up to the mountains, you know, there's like the roads are going to take you west, you know, from Colorado, from Denver. And I said, nah, let's just go back home and relax and get some chips and dips and chicken wings and just relax and get ready for the Super Bowl. But nevertheless, beautiful, beautiful country that the weather can change on a dime. And coming from Boston, the snow doesn't melt in Boston. It snows, it stays forever. Here, you could have a blizzard, an absolute blizzard in the morning, and the snow is dry off the roads. It's evaporated by the afternoon. And the sun's out. 345 days of sunshine out of the year. And just beautiful, beautiful country. But as our good buddy Joel says, who used to live up in, I guess, New York, he says, I'm tired of snow. Yep. I'm moving to Florida. So we may move to Charleston, South Carolina, where Brenda's family is. We may move warm. And I don't know if that's just a thing that as you get older, you get tired of snow, you just want to move warm. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I feel it. I have the benefit of modern miracle medicine in my body. I have 2010, I fell off a sidewalk ice and blew out my heel and my fibula and had plate and screws. And
oh, my God.
Rod. Put my left leg together, so I got that fixed up. But those titanium rods, when it cools in Buffalo, when it's 30 degrees outside, my ankle is 30 degrees. Now, when you compare it to the rest of my body, 98.6, you feel it.
Oh, wow.
And then last year, even during the pandemic, I was able to sneak in and get a knee replaced in my right knee. So that's titanium in that leg. And so we are more sensitive to the cold. Now, the heat, I can tell you, we were in Puget kind of hanging out trying to get out of this cold a couple weeks ago. You were there.
That was fun.
And I have to tell you, I was moving with such freedom and motion. I was making some pretty good time when we were down the hallways. Well, to get from the room to the restaurants or get to the beach or get to the pool, I was moving at a pretty good pace, even though it was warm out. And, of course, everybody wants to kind of go manana. I want to get to the pool. I want to get to the food. I want to get places. So, but it was so much easier to move around. And today, even this morning, as I did some errands, it's cold. It's 20 degrees. That's why it's going to 50. Today it's 20. So I don't like the cold. My body isn't set up now today for it. So you know what? We have the privilege and the honor to live in America and to be able to create the kinds of prosperity that allows us to make decisions, to move around. We're not locked down. We're not tied to. When I was tied to a town, a place, a house, a village, a point, a community,
we can
move wherever we want. And, you know,
that's freedom.
About the last 2 years, in spite of having that American right the last 2 years, we've had a whole group of people that have decided they were deciding for us that we could or couldn't do anything. At one point, we reached a point where we said, we've been locked in the house here for 6 months. And we found out we live on the Pennsylvania border, and that state down in the valley, the wonderful valley, I'm trying to think of the river that meanders through down through Pennsylvania, and we were able to go to a resort down in Lewistown, and there's a place that's called Country Cupboard, and it's run by Amish people, and it's a hotel complex, it's a bunch of hotels. They have their one hotel that they run and restaurant, and then they have gift shops and ladies shops and Christmas decoration
the
shops.
Allegheny River. Shops
and food. There's the Allegheny River, yep. And I'll tell you what, we got away. And we called up one of our travel companies. Oh, it's Best Western we chose. And we got two nights for one price, and the third night was free because we had used up some points that we'd gotten off another trip we did. And I didn't touch any of my travel vault credits. I just went down there. And by the way, we got more vault credits than they added to our because we booked it from ourselves. And we went down, and my wife got to do some shopping, and we got to a couple really nice restaurants. The one restaurant, now right in the middle of the pandemic, a lot of restaurants were forced to really alter their menus and how they served you. This is a Amish country. It's a modern but an Amish country buffet. And they had turkey ham, filet mignon on the cutting board. They had snow crab. Mm. They had bacon wrapped scallops. They had shrimp. They had stewed tomatoes. I don't know any other restaurant I've ever gone to that had stewed tomatoes. I'm telling you, I got a big bowl of stewed tomatoes, and desserts were crazy. And we went there for dinner and just had a marvelous time. We were in the pool earlier that day. Our room was right next to the pool. And so Linda picked up some wonderful things the last couple weeks when we went to Punta Cana. She wore a couple of her blouses she bought on that trip. And my wife is known as a smart shop. And that's actually something that her and Linda Umphreyville have created, a smart shopping network to train people how to take advantage of not being, to be inside the supply chain, the chain to make your product. You know what? I just want to share something, Rick. We have deliberately looked at shopping just in terms of in our life, shopping in a grocery store. So everybody does it. Everybody does it. Unless you're in a nursing home and they're buying the food and bringing the food to your table and your bed. Everybody goes to the grocery store. Now, we have deliberately done a comparison. And we took 12 of the items that we buy regularly in our house to, feed ourselves. Of those, and by the way, we usually have about 50 or 60 a week that we might buy. And those 12 items have gone up. Each one of them went up $1 a piece. Well, it's been up $1. Now, that's just for those. So that means we're spending $12 a month on food that we buy that we're buying regularly anyways. Now, when I fill my gas tank up, and this is another thing I've noticed, we used to fill it up for $22, $23.50, depending on the gas station we went to. I have paid $45 in the last 4 months to fill my tank up. Now, unless you had a way of creating more income to overcome that, unless you have a way of not having to pay those prices, and most people do not, people are going backwards faster than they're going forward. Their savings are getting eaten up. Their ability to live the same level of lifestyle is going backwards faster than you can talk. So what it's caused is, and this is positive. That's not positive from the sense of it, how we're living. But the positive side of it, Rick, more people are hungry. And I don't mean just for food. I mean hungry that they want their life back. They're desperate. And what is their life? Their life was a dream. They were living their dream. Now, it might not have been the whole dream they wanted to have, but they were living at a level. And now, because of COVID and bureaucrats, our life has been altered. Now, some people have an outlook in life. They know that they're blessed, and they can be shown favor in the way they live their life. And they can improve it by working. One of the things that part of the American dream is that if you work and you work and you own, you can increase faster than the cost of anything will ever go up. And what Surge Opportunity does, our travel program on this aspect, and from a home-based, home career development, income-producing golden goose, Surge is poised to take hundreds, if not thousands, of people and restore their dream. And I get excited every Tuesday when you and I get on this phone call, and we cover all kinds of areas. And, you know, people could say, well, I had the equivalent. I was making, our household was bringing in six-figure income total, with total husband and wife up together and benefits and all that. And for a lot of people, it's gone or reduced so substantially. The idea of taking a vacation once a year is gone. The idea of going someplace and escaping to warm places when it's cold, or when it's cold, they want to go to a warm place, they want to go to a cool place. Or they want to go on a cruise, or they want to go historical, they want to go to see and explore the great world that God has created for us. That's been diminished at a very high level. And what we're doing on a day-to-day basis is we're restoring and opening the dream and the power and the favor and the joy. And we're putting joy back in people's hearts. Now, when you can put joy in people's hearts, you are creating. You are being in a creative position. You are allowing that person to be free. And in freedom, we flourish. We start to become creative with ways to serving each other. When you are founded in the Lord, and we recommend people have strong faith, and if they want to know more about doing that, we can talk to them about that and share, because we've taken that walk. But if they don't want to do that, then they'll ask us, but we don't, okay, it's great, but we'll just have to come and say, like I had friends, people we knew, come up to us and say, Ron and Linda, how do you guys do it? You know, we know our family, nobody in our family, anybody, you know, or we got a big family, nobody in the last year and a half has gone anywhere. You've gone to Punta Cana, you've gone to Disney, you've gone to Cancun, you've gone to California, you've gone to Texas, you've gone to, before they shut the border down, we went to Toronto a lot. We've been to plays. How do you do it? Now, I love it when people ask me that, Rick. I love when they ask that question, because then, it's not that I have an answer for them. What I have is what they're asking me is, how can we have that life too? And my joy in life, one of my greatest joys, is to be able to open that door for somebody and help them to walk through and be able to create their adventure, their story. And, you know, that's what you did for Lynn and I. You didn't even know it. When you talked to Joel, and Joel said, well, I'll meet this couple. And I don't know what he said to you. Maybe he said I was just a crazy nut from Buffalo. It's probably true. It was and is. You met us, and you were kind to us. You had taken the Well, you took the Lieutenant Len Kane's, the original Top Gun, you took the kindness campaign on before he ever came along and brought it up. You've been doing kindness campaign for your whole life.
Hey, remember we were in the brig when you mentioned Captain Len Kane, Top Gun, Navy Top Gun. And remember we went on that cruise, the Hope Cruise. And we've got another Hope Cruise coming up here. But remember we went on the cruise to Cozumel, and I'm the captain of the cruise ship because of the connection with Len Kane. We were in the bridge. I guess, what is it called, the bridge of that cruise ship? And we went up, and they invited us in, and we were able to go in there, and we were able to look, you know, at the waters as they were steering the ship, and all the modern instruments that they had, you know, to control
joystick.
That ship.
They were using joystick to steer the ship.
Not the old sailor's wheel, you know.
Turn.
You know, but, and we were in there, and how clean it was in there, and that just the environment, no noise, just silence, and being responsible for all those passengers on that cruise ship. I would have never even thought, prior to that, I had never even thought about visiting the bridge of a cruise ship while it's on the journey to wherever they're going. And that was just so cool. And you guys opened up that opportunity to Brenda and I. And we were just in there, and it was just a surreal experience, you know, knowing that all the passengers are there and they're having fun and they're eating and they're drinking and they're doing all the things that they're doing, and we're in the bridge. And just a small section, comparatively speaking, of the ship, but it's the one that gets the people to where they need to go. And how serious, you know, those who were steering the ship took their job, you know, controlling everything, and how serious they took their job, knowing that those passengers are safe.
It was incredible. And, you know, here's, you know, we talk about Len Kane, who's one of our partners in the world of kindness and dream and building life and improving life through the Golden Rule Society, and working with the Hope Collection. And what it did that day was open our eyes to see there were leadership. There were people who have trained and become experts in what they do. And Captain Louis was his name. And Captain Louis had so much respect for Len Kane. Now, you ever seen a I know people have seen the captain on movies, the captain's on a cruise ship, and the captain's always, you never see him in a Hawaiian shirt. You always see the captain in his whites and a hat, you know, the captain's hat. You can't miss it. Well, Captain Louis, in respect to Len Kane and who Len Kane is, also was a Navy, he was a captain, all right. He ran squadrons, 300 fighter pilots, and became the Top Gun. And so Captain Louis awarded Len Kane with his captain's hat.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, you talk about respect. Two Navy guys.
That's respect.
Navy to Navy. And Len Kane proudly has that in his office. I know when he broadcasts a live show on Zoom or something like that, he'll have, you can see Captain Louis's hat in his office and how much Len was appreciative of that honor. And I've talked to lots of people who've gone on lots of cruises, and like you said, Rick, I've never met anybody else that's been on the bridge of any cruise ship anywhere.
You don't even think about it.
Never met anybody.
It's not even a thought.
And
that's like
so
no man's
deep.
Land.
Yeah, well, it really comes to the point that when you are a servant and when you serve, you end up being in places that you never plan on, and you get blessings that never come to all those who don't.
That's true.
And so, of course, it's
that's
not in anybody's face, but it is saying to someone, when you become a servant to others, you know, the greatest servant we've ever had in our life is known as the Lord. the day before they killed him, he was down on his knees washing the feet of his disciples. He served the servers. And he blessed them. And they were amazed. They didn't want him to do that. What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, they didn't appreciate the fact that what he was demonstrating is that when you serve others, you are rewarded for serving. And it's a great, great story. Yes.
Let me ask you a question. So what does it mean to you, helping others by helping them help others, which is pretty much the caption and the driving saying that we have here in Hope and in the Hope Collection? What does that mean to you, helping others by helping them help others?
Well, the first thing it means is that I am always, from the time I get up, the time I'm in bed, whenever I'm around anybody or I'm communicating on the phone or wherever I'm at, I am always, my ears and my spirit are up and sensitive to see where people are at in whatever circumstances they're at, that if I can't somehow be of something, a benefit for them. That's my number one thought. I think, what can I be for that person? Not because I'm so great, but because they may need help and God has blessed me with the presence of mind, presence of spirit, and comes with that a responsibility is to pay it forward. That's what I live for. It's a way of life, and what it does, it opens doors that places and relationships and depth of life at such a high level. And then you can see benefits. In my life, you know, we all have family, and I am so excited for you this weekend that your son, you know, they always say, look at someone and what's the fruit on the tree. Well, I know how proud you are of your son and his service and all the things he's look at what you've done. And I'll tell you what, Rick, you ought to be as proud as you are about what's happening this weekend. You're extending life and family and marriage with a model. You don't have to say what it is you believe in. You've demonstrated by your life, and now your son is fruit on the tree, and the genes and the DNA is there so that he can now be another blossom, be another light on the hill. That's what it's all about. That's what living, you know, the words, helping others by helping them help others. And they can be family. And, you know, in my family, I had two sisters, and my mom and dad have both gone to be on with the Lord now, but they're both alive. One has some very, very deliberate, nasty medical conditions. She's got MS in advanced stages. My brother-in-law has got stage four cancer. And on top of that, he's got an aneurysm that he's been in and out of the hospital and different surgeries for the last 10 years. They never had a honeymoon. Their marriage, their life has been rocky. They've had two kids, all kinds of issues, and their household was never very stable. Eventually, they did bring faith into their house and Lord, and that helped stabilize for a lot of years, got things better. But the peak a couple months ago, when people were still saying, stay inside, put a bag over your head, you know, don't go near anybody, don't go to church, they got on a cruise, and we put together a cruise, and they went on their honeymoon. They went from Buffalo, New York, to Washington, to Miami, and then on to a cruise ship in Miami. And they went to Cozumel, on the very ship that you were on the bridge of.
How about
that? They were thrilled. And because we had been on that ship, we knew, we told them what to do, where to go, what to do, what things to add. And we gave them a whole itinerary that they just never dreamed in their life they would have that kind of an experience. And it enriched their lives. In fact, since they came back, every other week they've called us, number one, to let us know that they will only do cruises for the rest of their lives. Number two, they want to go as soon as they can again. Number three, they won't take the grandkids.
Smart.
We We created a monster.
You learn.
You know.
Well, you know, we've done 36 cruises, and because of the business, why not? That's our job. It's a tough life. Somebody's got to do it. And what are the 8 areas that we help others by helping them help others in? What are those 8 areas that are part of the Hope Collection?
Well, the first one is based in faith. And we aren't ashamed and we don't downplay the fact that we believe that as one of our foundations that everyone needs to have, even if it's a mustard seed of faith, they should grow it and enhance it and let it work and let it be a light in the world. And we try to give all kinds of counsel and areas of opportunity to reinforce faith. Part of the Hope Collection is a link that has Marketplace Ministries action available to people so they can enrich their life from there. The next area is family. Well, you know what? Why do you do all these things? Well, God created the family. He's the one that designed it, invented it, and he created a man and a woman to be together and live and prosper and multiply. Those were his words, not mine. And so that's the formula for a successful life. Then he created education so you could learn how to live in the garden. Now, the garden has changed a lot over the centuries and time because of different actions and man's actions, but it's still God's garden. We live in it. In America, we're closer to the garden, back to the garden in terms of the way that someone can live because of prosperity and capitalism as the foundations for building prosperity. And so it's respect for life and others. So we have family, faith, education. So people need to be able to learn and be educated, and they need to discern and have the idea of knowing that they can make choices based on what they're educated in. When people are ignorant, I don't mean they're bad people. I mean when they're ignorant, they don't have knowledge. They don't make decisions based on good, solid, fundamental principles. And when you have a whole slew of people in a whole generation that have been in a state of confusion and misinformation, misdirection, outright lies, you got a group of people out there that are running around now that don't have foundation and are running around scared. And when they get scared, they lose their dreams and they lose their visions, and now they're not purposeful. Well, our job is to help people, again, that sensitivity, helping others by helping them help others, is to kind of help people steer them in the right direction to be able to get back on that. So the family, faith, education. Now, we need to live in homes. We need to own, we need to have, and if we can own something, because then it creates equity, it creates value. You have pride and you are able to build unity inside the family unit and hope for the future and hope for the next generation that things can be better. And so now we have the housing, and so the Hope Collection is really deeply involved in helping individuals and family in the area of housing and living and how to live within the walls of that house and unity. Bringing unity and leadership within a household allows us to flow over into the rest of the community and be examples for the rest of the community. After housing, after faith, family, housing, education, the arts. We are social beings, and God created us to be social. Social is about being together. It's about joining our spirits and experiencing our spirit that can go between us. A spirit can't go between you on a text. You can't build a relationship without the spirit of a person. You can know somebody, you can know about information, you know knowledge. Without the uniting of a spirit, you've got nothing. It's just here today, gone tomorrow, and the whisper of the wind, or the lights get shut off, and it's gone. So we encourage that ability to utilize the things that enhance. That's called the arts. The arts are beautiful skills. Music, everybody knows that song, music makes the world go round. everybody knows that music can quell the most heart-wrenching, nasty, cruel person. And music can just take that person just down to bring them down in a level to the point where they actually sense and feel love. And when they do that, they can create unity and they can create growth and creativity can be restored in a relationship. Art demonstrates passion. And some of it's really, really good passion that you see in art. There's been a lot of art that shows a lot of non-passion, a lot of just the opposite. Why could we say passion? I think of good passion. I don't think of the horrific things that man has done to each other. And there's a lot of that passion, negative. But when we can put the beautiful flowers, I'm looking, I bought my wife for Valentine's Day. I got a little, she's got a vase over here by the door. And she's got her little bouquet of flowers with when they're purple
beautiful.
And pink and orange. And they brought, it just, they weren't, I didn't go out, first of all, I didn't have time and I didn't go out and spend $1 million for the 29 roses and they were hybrid grown and they were the most perfect. I bought a little bouquet of daisies and mixed bunch flowers. She's thrilled about those flowers. She was thrilled
beautiful.
Because I thought of them to give them to her. That was joy in her heart. We can do that when we can treat each other with respect, not just our wives, but everybody around us. So now the art, that's flowers. That's the beauty of flowers. It's a painting on the wall. I'm looking up on my wall over my TV, and Lynn and I were brought up on a very large stage in front of a huge audience in a coliseum. And we were awarded, I have a picture, and it's two hands reaching out towards each other, and there's like a flourish of light behind the hands. And it's the joining of two hearts, hands, two spirits coming together, and there's energy, and there's a sense of reaching out in this picture. And it's over, we have it framed over our TV in the living room. Everybody comes in our living room and asks, well, what's that, Ron? And I tell them it's a print, but it's a limited edition print done by a fellow who's become, in our generation, a fairly notable artist. And his father was a football player, Dave Taylor, played for the Baltimore Colts. Anyways, long, long time ago, but so we knew Dave and his wife, Anna, and his son did this artwork and had limited edition prints made, and Joel, an artist, at a special event, honored Lynn and I for our service. And this picture demonstrates someone reaching out to help somebody. So you asked me earlier what it is, and I just would say that depicts how we live. The arts being a foundational pillar of what the whole collection has, because music and arts and song and writing, author of stories, are talents. And some of us can do that better than others. I can't sing a lick, but I try all the time anyways. God said, made a joyful noise to the Lord. So I do a lot of noise. And then we've got, after we've got the arts, we got health and wellness. Well, you know, if we're not in a condition of health, we're looking to be served. It takes us mostly out of the area of serving. Now, you could still be in bad condition and bad health and still give away love through a smile, through something you do, open a door for someone. I mean, there's still things, even in our worst-case conditions, when we need to have taken care of, we're in need, we still could do things to give and spread joy and lift people up. So that's another aspect of the Hope Collection, being willing to do that. It's called the servant leader in terms of life, where you're not in this world for what you can get. It's what you can do to give and help others. Then there's, I mentioned health and wellness. Well, you got to get healthy and stay healthy. I had an altercation in my life. I told you about the broken bones. Well, they, you know, you can get some titanium and screws and things and put the bones back together. But I had a stroke, and that's in your nerves, and that's in your brain, and that's all that stuff. That's been a little more of a challenge. But we're doing pretty good. The Lord is still using me to do all the things. Isn't stopping me from doing all the stuff you've asked me about today, Rick. So now we got faith, family, housing, education, the arts, health and wellness, water, energy, and food. We are all critically need water and energy, both energy to run and run our bodies, our buildings, and our homes, and energy. It takes energy to do anything. You know, the cavemen started out with a fire. Before there was fire, they were in the dark. Then there was light. And they were able to warmth. They were able to be able to grow and live longer because they had energy and heat. And so the more we have that available and the more readily it's available to us, the better we can improve the level of life. And right now we're going through man-made issues proving that. And the whole reason for it is controlling life, because we have a group of people that don't want what we're talking about, these eight pillars. They don't want that to exist because they want to control life. They want to control everything, and that gives them power, and that's where they get their joy. So that's the battle that we're all in as lovers of life and lovers of our Lord, because we're charged to carry that torch. And by the way, that's energy. So that's the Hope Collection.
Perfect. Awesome. I know when you go over all of these, you know, Joel and his genius, it lays a foundation for to be able to identify problems along the way in any of these areas, and based on where a person is, wherever they feel inclined, you know, based on who they are, based on their purpose in life, and the direction that they're going, any of these areas kind of highlight, you know, kind of just flashes. And they may say, hey, you know what, I really have an affinity toward education or faith, or I really have an affinity toward family. I love family. And they can see wherever your area is, and it's part of you and that spirit and just being a problem solver based on what you can see. If you can see it, it's yours. And you have the ability, if you can see a problem, the reason you can actually see a problem is because you actually have the solution somewhere inside. And as you focus on whatever it is, that solution will begin to kind of come to the surface. And Joel and his genius, you know, especially looking at each of these areas, and Joel always talked about and explained servant leader and being what it means to be a servant leader and there to serve and being willing to commit your time, your talents, your treasures, all of that in the service of your purpose. And it's really internal versus even external, because there's a joy that comes when you are in that moment of serving other people, you know, in alignment with your purpose. There is a feeling that comes over you like, yes, you know, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And what I, you know, thanks for going through that. That was powerful, you know, and going through each one of these. And one of the things that we know, life is not necessarily about the destination. It's about the experiences along the way. And when I look at these areas of the Hope Collection, it provides a foundation that a person needs, especially in going through times like the pandemic. Because when you have this as a foundation, you're looking at the world through a different lens. There are no problems. Every problem is an opportunity. You know, so if you're looking at the pandemic through the eyes of faith or family or education or housing or arts or health and wellness or water, energy, and food, you're not seeing the problems in those areas as problems. You're seeing the problems in those areas as a servant leader. How can I get involved? And so when you look back over time, before our time even, just history, all the different situations that people thought were just devastating, those are just regular people, but people who are servant leaders, that's when they are mobilized. That's when they're energized. That's when they're like, hey, you know, there's a problem. Superman comes out of the telephone booth, you know, with the chest and the S on the chest and ready to go to work. And that's where I see ourselves. You know, yeah, we had a pandemic, but that creates opportunity. You know, in the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, he says your wealth is generated by the times that you live in and the problems that become opportunities because of the special time that you were born and become of age during the time of that problem, that opportunity. And he says, since the beginning of time, it's always been that way. You know, after World War II, when the soldiers came back and they had all the kids that created the baby boomers, education was huge because there was some overabundance of kids. You know, Mattel and all the toy companies were huge because of the overabundance of kids. The school system, I mean, everything is related to the times that you're in. You know, when the big supercomputers, the IBM computers that filled the whole room and more, and then, of course, you had, you know, Bill Gates come along, and the preparation of a Bill Gates to be there, and all those greats of the Silicon Valley, you know, for Apple Computer, all those greats, the training and the preparation for them to come of age to solve the problem of the desktop computer. You know, it's the timing. Bill Gates didn't invent the computer revolution. He was just, at that moment, fully prepared to take advantage of it because of all the access that he had to supercomputers growing up. And so he knew, you know, during that time, and all the greats that were part of that whole, you know, computer revolution, they were prepared, the most prepared during that time. And so now you're looking at the pandemic. It represents an opportunity of faith, of family, of education, of housing, of arts, of health and wellness, of water, energy, food. What problem do you see? Because that's the problem you actually can solve. You can see it. You can solve it in any of these areas. And of course, being in travel, according to the World Travel and Tourism Council, the world gurus of travel, they said travel is key to economic recovery worldwide once the COVID-19 pandemic has been combated. Travel. And as you was talking earlier, that you're mobile in the travel business, in Surge 365, it makes you mobile. You can go anywhere. We were working in Punta Cana. That's our job.
Wait a minute. You mean when I get down to the beach and we were watching those parasailers go by and we were studying the aerodynamics of how flight works when you hit special lifting agent, like a parachute, and you put power behind it with the horsepower of the boat. And then you have smooth water that's crystal blue and a nice breeze, and a person can hang on, and that elevation will take them to see beautiful spots along the beach and the palm trees and all the people laying on the beach. We were working hard watching that. We were working hard. You're right.
And as the beach butler came and said, may I help you? Can I get you anything? Do you want anything to drink? Do you want any food? And was there Johnny on the spot to serve you? The pool butler, the beach butler. Yes.
We actually learned something on this trip. We got in. we had a little light issue coming in, so we got into the hotel late. And we really didn't want to walk down to the restaurant Well, there were three restaurants. We didn't want to go down to them. So we went to the room and we picked up the phone. And we had a spaghetti dinner delivered to us with garlic toast and the salad and the meatballs. And we had dinner delivered to our room. Now, what's even better is they didn't hand me a check. And when I left the hotel, there wasn't a bill on my closeout. In fact, it said 0000. We learned that if you go to an all-expense resort, that's what it is. You get everything, the services. You get what you want to enjoy, refresh, revolve, and become restored, because their spirit was greatly restored. Especially when you're dancing under the stars to a DJ Saturday night on the beach after a big steak dinner.
Isn't that awesome?
We had to learn.
Oh, boy. That was so awesome. And so you can't be resistant to change. You can't be resistant. You have to look at everything that happens as opportunity. And that's what I love about the folks that are actually part of the Hope Collection and the people that I've surrounded myself with. They look at change as opportunity. And even as we get older, and we talked about moving to warmer weather, that being mobile with your business, that's an adjustment that people have to make. Otherwise, they will remain in the same place until they get so old that they are booted out, that they're spit out. Look around. You don't see old people working in the workforce. You know, the job always makes an excuse to get rid of them. And so why not be, you know, that person that says, I know that this is coming. I know that this is the future. Nobody has escaped it. Older people, they get at some point asked to retire, asked to leave. Why not build the security now in the midst of this, or at the back end of this pandemic? And looking at faith, okay, what can I do? What are some of the problems? Family, can I do? You know, how can I serve other people? Wealth is created when you serve others and you meet the needs of others. Education, during this pandemic, what can I do? Housing, arts, health and wellness, water, energy, food. Where can I get involved? You know, what has my life experience been that I've become a master, an expert in a particular area because of, you know, whether fortunate or unfortunate life experiences? The things that you grow through are the very things that you can actually teach and serve others and share with others. What is that? And being able to put some thought into it, some meditation, some prayer into who am I? You know, what has been my life experience where I know something because I went through it. And at the time, it may not have seemed such a great thing, but it built something in you for the purpose of being able to share it. What am I holding so close to my chest that I need to actually look outward and share it? And that becomes the thing that creates an income for you. The things that we grow through are not because, you know, you want to be suppressing it or, you know, to beat you down. No, you actually went through an experience that becomes your source of value. You know, that becomes now your value. And then that value translates into money and translates into service, translates into something else. What do you have? What do you have? And so as we're looking at travel, of course, as we're out of time, travel is one of those things that makes you mobile. And I love how you describe the arts and the spirit behind the arts. Man, Ron, that's some powerful stuff. We have an answer. And for people who are looking for solutions, back to you.
Well, you know what? The end of the show is coming, and I don't think we could have had a more profound description of what travel really can be in the lives of everybody that hears the show or we send them to the show. And I'm proud that we had the privilege of meeting you and Brenda and opening this door in our life that's become such a vital, important role. And now more than ever, we are lifting people up and causing them to have hope for tomorrow, today. And thank you, Rick. You are a great friend and a great leader. Thank you.
Likewise. We'll see you.
Bye now.
Many offers in Western cities. I did want to ask you, we're here in the capital of Kiev overnight. The announcement coming from Secretary of State Energy in Britain that the U.S. Embassy will temporarily move to Western Ukraine, going to the possible line of fire. And today, President Putin in Moscow meeting with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz to basically try to hammer out a possible negotiation, a path forward for all of this. Remember, this is much like a stove. President Putin of Russia can ratchet it up the heat when he wants to. And it can also turn it back down when you started to get those security guarantees from the West.
Yeah. Let's hope he feels warm enough to want to turn it down. Trey East for us in Kiev. Trey, thank you. Sandra?
So how, despite Putin claiming his troops are leaving the Ukrainian border, the White House is doubling down on its intelligence warning that Russia could invade at any moment. Peter Beacon Black, the White House. We've got more on that for us. So Peter, is there any indication that things are moving one direction or another here?
If anything are moving, we'll find out shortly exactly whether it's closer to an invasion or further away. But the White House has done a